Well, good afternoon. Welcome. Glad you're with me. Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVellantes. It's New Year's Eve on 720 WGN. Big show planned. If you want to get involved, 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. Social media, Brian Noonan Show. That's Facebook and Twitter. And you may be thinking, Brian, you're in a big hurry. Yes, I am, because right away we must go out to sunny San Diego, California. Now, here it is foggy, cold, and rainy, but I bet where Adam Hoge is covering the Holiday Bowl, it is probably a mid-70s and sunny. Adam, am I right?
Oh, man, I wish you were right, Brian. It is high 50s and raining right now.
Really?
Here in San Diego. Yep.
Wow.
Trust me.
How did you pick the one day that San Diego's weather was lousy?
You know, they're on a little bit of a cold spell here, which they're complaining about. You know, it like leads the news every night.
Oh, sure.
In San Diego, that it's cold here, which we're like, boo-hoo, it's, you know, high of 60. But at least it's been sunny while we've been here. But today, unfortunately, it's rainy. And so a game between two physical football teams that like to run the football, it might be one of those grind-it-out type of sloppy games in the rain, depending on whether or not this goes away or clears up.
Now, you mentioned two teams that like to run the ball. Also, two teams that at the very beginning of the season, you probably wouldn't have thought either one was going to make a bowl game.
Well, I mean, I thought Northwestern would.
Well, I've just said that because they started at 1-3, and Utah started at 2-2, so they weren't out of the gate barn burners.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You know, at the start of the year, I had really high expectations for this Northwestern team, but when they were 1-3, and in the process of falling behind to Nebraska, they're down 10 with just a couple of minutes left in the game. Yeah, at that moment, I was thinking that the season might be headed straight downhill, and this was going to be ugly. But you know, credit Pat Fitzgerald and the coaching staff. Credit Clayton Thorson for making some huge plays at the end of that game to come back against Nebraska and win that game in overtime. And then credit Isaiah Bowser, the true freshman running back, who kind of flipped the whole season around once he was established as the running back, because they were scrambling there for a couple weeks and literally had no running game, yet managed to go to Michigan State and win on the road on Clayton Thorson's arm. But they needed a running back. They found him in Isaiah Bowser. And, you know, we get into our pregame show here in a couple hours. That's going to be my key to the game, Northwestern's ability to run the football today against a really, really good Utah front seven.
Well, and that's, as you said, that's going to be one of the keys. Now, will listen, the Wildcats are used to playing in all kinds of weather conditions, so a little rain isn't going to really change their game plan, is it?
No. I mean, that's more just us kind of complaining because it's a bowl game. And
you want to go to a lovely, yeah. Lovely climate for a bowl game.
No, yeah. So for Northwestern, this honestly will be like weather that we're used to in Evanston in October. You know, in the 50s, it's going to cool down as the game goes along, and maybe some rain. But you know, that's Midwest football weather for us. And so and the way these two teams play, both like to run the football first. Both are really good defensively. I was predicting a low scoring game anyway. So honestly, the rain probably won't change anything, except make it a little bit sloppier down there on the field. And, you know, I haven't been to Qualcomm in a couple of years. The Bears played here a few years ago against the Chargers before they moved to L.A. I know it's not the nicest stadium. It's older. But I think typically the playing surface is pretty good. So hopefully the grass is in good shape.
Now, the Cats going for their third bowl win in a row. They did the Music City Bowl last year, the Pinstripe Bowl the year before that. I know Fitz is a big guy for – listen, we're just focused on this game. We're just focused on what's ahead of us. Is there any talk about that amongst the players, amongst the staff, or is those two games are gone? They don't matter anymore. We're only worried about this one.
Well, I think you do go back to previous bowl experience, and, you know, we're not so far removed from – the point where the problem with Northwestern is that they couldn't win a bowl game. They're behind that now. They won the last 2 years, both games that were tight that they had to pull out with some big plays in the fourth quarter. Last year, Fitz got really aggressive going for fourth down in his own territory late to clinch the game. And, you know, he's in some ways, I mean, Fitz is already aggressive and likes to go for it on fourth down, but he'll pull out all the stops in these bowl games, and you'll see anything. Because, you know, to be honest, not to minimize the meaning of the game, it matters a lot to the program and the sure. players to come out of this as bowl champions. But, you know, in the end, you can be aggressive. You can make crazy decisions because, it's not like you're losing a Big Ten championship if you lose the game. And so I think that makes these games fun a lot of times. And then on Utah's side, you know, they don't lose bowl games. Kyle Whittingham has been there forever. He's only lost one bowl game in his entire career. So
Fitz was quoted as
one of the programs that prides itself on going out there and winning these games every single year.
Fitz was quoted as saying he's going to go up to him after the game and ask him what he's done to have that kind of stellar record in the bowl.
Yeah, he was hoping he'd tell him before the game.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
Get the secrets afterwards. Yeah.
Secrets come afterwards. Speaking of that, because of Utah's record in the bowl games and everything else, the Cats are underdogs. And they've been underdogs before. Do they like playing from that position of being the underdog? You know, Fitz has talked about it in the past. Is this a place that they're comfortable being?
Yeah, they're comfortable. They're used to it. It's happened really throughout Pat Fitzgerald's entire tenure as head coach, but a lot this season. You know, like, we went to Iowa. I thought Northwestern was better than Iowa straight up, and they were 10-point underdogs. And it's just like, what? I don't know what they're looking at to really determine these lines sometimes. I know it's based on, you know, getting even money on both sides in Vegas.
Sure.
But, you know, sometimes the especially with this Northwestern program, when I look at the lines every week, and I do like to look at them just, you know, to see how the public is viewing the game. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They go in Iowa City and they win the football game. You know, they were big underdogs to Michigan State on the road. They go and they win that football game. So they're used to it, and Fitz loves to play up the underdog card. Sometimes it works. You know, he played it up against Ohio State. They had no chance to beat the Buckeyes. And, you know, there they were, early fourth quarter, only down three.
Right.
They'll use that. I'm surprised they're 7-point dogs today. I think these teams are actually very evenly matched. I think it's going to be a really good kind of old school Big Ten type of football game, to be honest with you, today. And that plays right in Northwestern's hands. So I think they have a great shot to win it, and I would expect it to be close. I would be shocked if Utah – honestly, I'd be shocked if either team blows the other out today. I think it's going to be a close game.
And the one reason they're giving Utah a little bit of the edge is their kicker. Is that something that I'm guessing the special teams coordinator has been focusing on that, trying to figure out a way to maybe neutralize that?
Yeah, they have a huge edge in special teams. Both the punter and the kicker won the awards as the top kicker and punter in the country. It's the first time that a program will be playing with both of those winners on one team. So that speaks to the the success Utah has had on special teams. And to be honest, unfortunately for Northwestern, it's one of their weaknesses. They have a good punter in Jake Collins, who's had to take over as their kickoff specialist and has sometimes kicked field goals, even though he's a punter and has been throughout his college career. He's a grad transfer that came over from Western Kentucky this year because they've just had so many injuries at the kicker position. They have a good kicker in Tarly Kubander, but he's been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And we think he's able to kick today, but this hip injury that's been bothering him all year, he may be limited in distance. So that's been a problem for Northwestern all year, not because anybody's been struggling, but just because of injuries. And meanwhile, you're going up against a program that has the best kicker and punter in the country.
Now, bittersweet game for Clayton Thorson, 4-year starter. Last year in the bowl game, hurts his knee. It's got to be a little bit overwhelming for him.
Yeah, 52 straight starts, which is unheard of in college football these days. 4-year starter, hasn't missed a start, which is amazing considering the knee injury he suffered in the bowl game last year. Speaking of that knee injury, you see all these guys, and I don't blame them for sitting out bowl games now to get ready for the NFL draft, avoid the risk of injury. We've seen it. Clayton had more reason than anybody to sit this game out if he wanted to because of what happened last year in Nashville in the bowl game. And he wants to play. He wants to be there for his teammates. He wants to finish out his senior year on the field with his guys. And, I'm the type of guy who I don't judge these players either way. If you want to sit out and prepare for, what's going to be your career and go to the NFL, I don't blame them. on the flip side, you know, some people will call Clayton Thorson crazy for playing in this game, but, you know, he's been here, the leader of this program. He's been in the program for 5 years now, the starter for four. He's the leader of the team. If he wants to go out and play, absolutely. And those guys will rally around him today. And, you know, it'd be nice for him to finish with a strong game. I think it can help him from the NFL perspective. But either way, he'll be playing in the Senior Bowl later in January, and that'll be a big opportunity for him in front of all the NFL teams that will be down there in Alabama for that game.
Very nice. Now, I know you got to catch the bus, but one question real quick, and you probably won't have an answer. Everybody is, you know, everybody's paying attention to the rumors that are swirling around Pat Fitzgerald. He has been, he had a press conference yesterday. He said, I've answered this before. I don't address rumors. Hashtag go Cats. He's not saying anything. Are you hearing anything around the program? I mean, are people nervous about this possibility? Are they even addressing it, or is it like, hey, it's a distraction, we're not dealing with that until Tuesday?
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people are talking about it, obviously, because it was all over the TV yesterday morning before the NFL games, and I happened to be in an elevator with one of the players' dads yesterday in the hotel, and what do you hear? People are nervous about it, but.
Sure.
I'll tell you this. I would be very, very surprised if Pat Fitzgerald is not the head coach at Northwestern next year. I think the situation with the Packers is a little bit different just because Mark Murphy is their president. He used to be the athletic director at Northwestern. He hired Pat Fitzgerald.
Right.
So in the past, teams have reached out to Fitz or his agent, Brian Harlan. I know the Bears at least inquired this year. And usually he doesn't even do the, take the interview.
Sure.
This could be different just because it is Mark Murphy. I don't know how far along the process it will go. But, even if for some reason got to the point where they offered him the job, I still am not 100% sure that Fitz is ready to jump to the next level. I think he has unfinished business at Northwestern with the facility they just opened. The program is on the rise. They got a five-star quarterback transfer that's going to be playing next year for them. The arrow's still pointing up here, and I just don't think right now is the right time. But I will say this, Brian, it's not a bad thing for Northwestern that Fitz keeps coming up for these jobs.
That's got to help with recruiting and everything else.
It helps with a lot of things. It helps him personally, but it also helps maybe advance and maybe get something done with Ryan Field here in the future. So it's not a bad thing, and ultimately, if you're asking me what will happen, I think he'll still be at Northwestern next season.
All right, we're going to mark that down. Well, we will be listening, Adam. The pregame for the Holiday Bowl starts at 5 o'clock. You and Senior Gatto, Dave Ennett, will be live. And then kickoff is at 6, what is it, 6:40 our time?
6
o'clock our time.
Yeah,
right around
6
o'clock our time. Well, sorry about the weather in San Diego, but we'll keep our fingers crossed for the Cats.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Adam. Take care. That's Adam Hoge. You can hear him later on the big broadcast. Northwestern taking on Utah in the Holiday Bowl. We will have some more after this.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Maybe you'll have a vision now and then.
Wow.
On the world,
who is that? I should know who that is. Sounds very familiar.
Take a shot in the dark.
I'm... It'll come to me. It'll come to me as soon as you say it.
It's our friends from
ABBA.
Sweden. Yeah, there
ABBA,
we go.
ABBA. Or do you say ABBA?
I'm both ways.
Is that right?
Yeah. Depends on how Chicago I'm feeling.
All right. Yeah, it's ABBA. I was going to say, the harmonies I knew immediately, and yet I was almost stumped. Thankfully, pulled it out. I didn't want to end 2018 on such a shameful note, not being able to identify ABBA. It is New Year's Eve. So now, as Kim said, New Year's Eve in Moscow. So I'm sure the president has already started celebrating. Don't spit your stuff over the console, Tom. It's okay. A lot of places celebrate with a lot of fun things. We'll talk about a few more of those on the other side. But at midnight, in New York, the big ball drops with all the Waterford crystals on it. Our good friend production director Chris Duffy is in Key West, and in Key West, they drop a giant red sparkling shoe. Inside that shoe is Sushi the Drag Queen. So Bourbon Street Pub, that will be their midnight ball drop. although it's a shoe drop, with a lovely lady in there. So we'll do a few more of these. On the other side of the news, Tom Skilling will join us. We'll find out if this fog is ever going to lift. It's 3:30 on 720 WGN Chicago. That means it's time for the news. This report is sponsored by VictoryAutoWreckers.com. Here's Kim Gordon.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and days old lang syne.
Very nice. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. It is New Year's Eve. Hope you have plans, whether it's something wild or something very calm and peaceful. Hopefully you have a wonderful New Year's Eve and a great start to 2019. If you are planning on going to the fireworks, good luck. Now, Kim has said they are going to go off as usual. Of course, Navy Pier with their fireworks. A new fireworks display along the river tonight. Only one man holds the key to whether our New Year's Eve is successful or not. And that man, of course, Tom Skilling. Tom, I'm sitting here on the 18th floor in our beautiful new studio, surrounded by windows, unable to see a thing.
Well, I'll tell you, Brian, first of all, thanks for putting that on my shoulders.
Yes.
You know, I just...
Listen, you are responsible for everyone enjoying every holiday, whether it's 4th of July or a white Christmas or a foggy New Year's Eve.
Sure.
It all comes back to you, Tom.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, Grease Santa's, skids
so
he comes in here on Christmas and all the rest. Well, I'll tell you the truth, honestly, about tonight. There'll be a little light rain, but I can't believe this is going to inhibit the fireworks. It might make it a little drizzly out there to be out watching them, but
will this fog go away?
You know what? The ceilings will be lifting because with time we'll be drying out and bringing some colder air in here at the lower levels. But you got to remember, Brian, you're sitting high there,
I am.
So you're kind of up. And if you get down to ground level, it's not nearly as bad. But on the other hand, the fireworks go off.
I was going to say, unless they're shooting them right along the street.
You know something, up in Alaska where I used to go, they had fireworks display, and they displays on New Year's Eve, and these things would go off whether it was snowing or not. And, I mean, they would launch them in blinding snows, which always amazed me.
Oh, yeah.
But you could still see something. So, this may not be perfect, but on the other hand, it's a lot better than a year ago. You know, we were only at 13 degrees on this day a year ago.
Oh, man.
Isn't that something? And here we are in the mid to upper 30s, so we're doing pretty well.
Well, the whole country is kind of a little goofy. I was reading something. They were talking about, everybody focuses on Times Square for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And that it's warmer there, even though it's raining, than it is in Arizona today. something is askew, Tom.
Yes, we've got some very strange weather, and there was a lot of talk on the East Coast in particular about a polar vortex that was supposed to descend on that area late in the month. It's not materialized, and you look out the next 2 weeks here in Chicago, and we stay basically above normal. This is the 17th consecutive day we've been above normal around here.
Huh.
So it may not have felt that way, and I know I can attest to that because I walk a couple of dogs, and I was thinking the last couple of nights, this is above normal. This is crazy. But it shows how off we are compared to what's normal in the month of December.
Well, yeah, and you point out last year, and it was freezing.
Frigid.
Last year.
Frigid. I'm getting pictures of the ice that was on the lake. We have no ice this year.
Yeah.
And so that's quite interesting. I was just checking the records from Christmas to New Year's Eve day last year. We are running about 30 degrees warmer than we did a year ago. So pretty amazing.
Wow. Yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
Not too bad.
Yeah, and especially after we started cold, which had everybody worried about the fact that, whoa, maybe we're heading into something truly abysmal here, but it hasn't been all that bad. Everything keeps moving along, and that seems to be the trend for the next couple of weeks. The month will average about 5 above normal, about 6 degrees warmer than December last year, and I think it's something like the 9th out of the last 12 months that have been above normal here in Chicago, that chilly October and November notwithstanding.
So you're telling us we got to quit complaining. That's what I'm hearing from you, Tom, and
well,
I agree. We got to quit complaining. We're above normal. It's winter, so it's cold, but it's not as cold as it could be.
You know, Brian, it's a free country. If you want to complain, go ahead and do it,
exactly.
You know, and have fun. But I...
There you go.
No, I guess the point I'm trying to make is it could be a lot worse.
Sure.
So.
It definitely could. I'm going to ask you a weather 101. This is entry level.
Sure.
It's well below your your expertise, but for the rest of us,
don't
it's
be
not.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. As you mentioned, I'm sitting on the 18th floor. Where does all this? What's causing all this fog?
Well, there's moisture, and you know, at this time of the year, the problem is the moisture can get into the area. Anytime you blow a wind up from the Gulf of Mexico, for instance, which we've done in this case. But the temperatures are cooler, so it's easier to saturate the air. Cooler air holds less moisture than warm air does. Okay. And so, well, let's put it this way. It holds less moisture, and it also is less apt to hold that moisture without developing cloud cover. The minute you drop the temperature down to the dew point, which is easier to do this time of the year, and the dew point's the temperature at which clouds and haze and fog form, that's when you get a lot of fog, and we can do that more easily in the months of November, December, and January than you do at other times of the year, say in summer, which is why, you know, the cloudiest months around here are November, December, January, right. and February. And that's why, historically, because, you know, cool air tends to saturate more easily and therefore produce more cloud cover and precipitation. And we're sure seeing that today.
All right.
Although yesterday was gorgeous.
Yeah, yesterday was. That's why it's almost, you know, too schizophrenic. One day we're this, the next day we're this.
Well, one other thing too, Brian. You know, even in terms of sunshine, we've done pretty well in the month of December. We'll wind up with 50% of our possible sun.
Well, that's not
typical,
bad.
No, a typical December only gives us 41%. So by that standard, we've had 9% more possible sun than we might otherwise have been expected to get this time of the year.
Look at you ending the year with such positive news.
Well,
you're taking 2018 out on a high note, Tom. That's why I like it.
Well, I'm glad you like that, Brian. You have to dig a little bit to find this. And, you know, while you do it with your hands shaking and shivering and all because it's cold, and you look out the window and you're depressed because it looks miserable. But if you look at the stats, you realize
we're doing all right.
Yeah, it could be a lot worse.
All right, so it's New Year's Eve. Now, we know you're working tonight, but the 10 o'clock news ends at 10:30. Then
yes.
you're off. And then a Tom Skilling is out on the streets celebrating New Year's Eve. What does New Year's Eve hold for you, Tom?
Going home and going to bed. Isn't that exciting?
It sounds about like mine.
I know.
That. Yes, it's very
You know, Brian, let's not kid anybody. You know, this show business routine is not near as glamorous as it seems to be
it's
to a
really
lot of folks.
Not.
You know?
People think, oh, Tom Skilling, he's probably going to be at some black tie affair, hobnobbing with
all
the swells.
All the time, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Hardly. My day starts early, about 8:30 in the morning. And, Brian, you know, you do the same thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
no,
it's...
And you'd be surprised. I've talked to a lot of my neighbors. I said, what are you doing for New Year's Eve? And you keep expecting to hear these marvelous plans. And some of them, they seem almost guilty in saying, I think I'll stay home. And they say it kind of quietly. And you think, right. What's wrong with that?
I don't see. And it's one of those days where we've built up so much expectation.
I know.
That we do, to some level, we do feel a little guilty. Well, isn't everybody having fun? And then the more you talk, like you said, the more you talk to people, nobody's doing anything.
I haven't
had one person tell me a plan that I went, I wish I was doing that.
And, you know, I don't mean to cast any aspersions toward folks, because we have marvelous restaurants here, and we have wonderful things to do in the evenings in Chicago, and a lot of folks will do them.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know, just on this end of the microphone, it's kind of a quiet night.
I speak only for myself, Tom, and you can agree or disagree, but you get to a certain age, you're like, I've done all those things before. And it didn't really change my New Year's. It wasn't better than other ones or not. So maybe tonight will just be a quiet night.
I think so. I think you're on to something there, Brian.
Well,
see, it took us a while to learn that.
Sure.
But the grass always looks greener on the other side,
it
you know.
Does.
But
except tonight, because I can't see anybody else's lawn. It's quite frankly, I don't even know if they have grass anymore.
Yeah, but
tonight.
The one thing is, Brian, at least it's not because they've got their lawn snow covered. You
That's
know?
True.
So.
See, again, Tom, with the bright side. Look at you. You're the eternal optimist.
Well, I've got to add one thing. We are going to have some snow showers coming in toward morning and off and on tomorrow, and some flurries into Wednesday. I'm afraid we're not going to see a lot of sun the next 2 days, but Thursday looks lovely and sunny, and Friday we'll see a good deal of sunshine, and so for that matter, a good chunk of Saturday. So we're in good shape. But those snow showers late tonight and tomorrow could dust the area or produce up to a half an inch, much as they did the other night. And there's even a possibility of an inch or a little more in northern counties and along Lake Michigan. So we may not have a totally bare ground situation forever.
That's just a one-shot. It's not going to snow all day tomorrow. No. It's just sometime overnight
off and
early
on.
In the morning.
Off and on. And, of course, we've got our Blackhawks over in South Bend. And
yes, people want to know, if we're traveling to South Bend tomorrow, what do we have to look forward to?
You know, it's interesting. There may be some Lake Effect snow showers blowing into northwest Indiana, and I would have told you on Friday there was a pretty good chance of those sweeping into South Bend. And they may, in fact, see some snow flurries or a brief snow shower. But by and large, it looks like just kind of a cloudy, chilly day. But that's good. It preserves the ice.
Yeah.
It's great hockey weather.
It's going to be fantastic. Well, Tom, Happy New Year. Are you working tomorrow, or did they give
you
a day off?
No, working tomorrow, Brian. The old boy is taking off next week. So
okay.
Don't feel bad for me. But I enjoy working with you anyway.
And I enjoy working with you. So I'm excited that we will end 2018 together, and we will start 2019 together.
That's right.
And have a lovely night, Tom. And listen,
you too.
I know you like to blow off fireworks and shoot your guns off in the air. Be careful tonight, okay?
Well, that's what Bill Snyder's here for, my producer. You know, Bill represents youth and all the rest, and so he does all the wild stuff in the off, and then we live vicariously through him.
There you go. That sounds like a much safer, saner plan.
Right.
Happy New Year,
you
Tom.
Too, Brian.
I'll talk
Happy
to you
New
tomorrow.
Year. You bet. Bye bye.
That's Tom Skilling. You hear him every day here with Roe and Anna. We will talk to the Cook County Treasurer, Maria Pappas, after this. If you own a home in Cook County, you may be getting a late Christmas present. Maria will tell us all. Brian Noonan in for Roe and Anna. New Year's Eve on 720 WGN. And just because Christmas is over doesn't mean you may not get a late Christmas gift, thanks to the Cook County Treasurer, Maria Pappas. She joins us now on WGN. Ms. Pappas, thanks for taking some time this afternoon. Some exciting news for property owners in Cook County today.
Yes, so grab a pen or a pencil or your iPhone and write down this web number. It is cookcountytreasurer.com. That's the site, cookcountytreasurer.com.
And
you go to that site. If you're a homeowner in Cook County, you do not have to put in a 14-digit ID number. You just simply put in your address. Whatever your address is in Cook County, put it into cookcountytreasurer.com, punch the purple box, and up will come a picture of your home. And under that will also show up a site telling you whether or not you are entitled to a refund. We are now issuing, between now and January 25th, to 30,000 homeowners in Cook County, $8.3 million. And the reason that that's happening is because mortgage companies either double paid, you had an escrow and you forgot, so the mortgage company paid, you got a bill, and then you paid. I'm sitting on two payments.
Okay.
So I now know for those 9,000 homeowners, roughly, what the routing number was and how they paid me. I can just put the money back in their bank.
Now,
this
if
is amazing.
It is very amazing. And people, if people don't, they don't have to go to the site and enter their address. You're seeing this automatically. So even if they don't want to go to CookCountyTreasurer.com, they may still get their check.
30,000 people are getting checks or money direct deposited to their account. They don't have to go to cookcountytreasurer.com. And the reason that we are able to do this is because the office, which had 258 people and six offices, now has 68 people, one office. But of the 68 who are working for me, Brian, 30 of them are programming. This website,
wow,
cookcountytreasurer.com, in March, we had 800,000 visitors. So let me just take a moment and tell you a little bit about this cookcountytreasurer.com.
Sure.
You can go to this site, you punch the purple box, you put in your address, and if you're one of the 60,000 people in Cook County whose mail came back to my office, because every time we send out mail, mail comes back because we don't have right addresses, believe it or not, my little red box will tell you, hey, homeowner, your mail came back to my office. Punch this button, get your address straightened out. If you scroll down one more box, you're going to see whether you paid, you didn't pay, whether you owe money. Scroll down to the next box. You have the Maria Pappas version of a boarding pass, except it's a copy of your bill.
Yeah.
You no longer have to wait to get anything from the United States Post Office. Go down just a little bit more. You know what a homeowner's exemption is, a senior exemption, a senior freeze. Senior exemptions and senior freezes, you have to apply every year. We have $43 million sitting right now over the last 4 years where seniors forgot to apply. So if you have a mother, a sister who's a senior, they don't have a computer, you can do this for them and or any of your friends.
Fair enough. It's a very easy to navigate website. As you said, the box, especially for this, for the property taxes, huge box right in the middle of the screen when you click on the website. So it's very,
yeah,
very
it's
easy
like,
to get around.
Know, we've made it almost mindless. So
well, that's perfect.
Yeah, well, we're trying to make it easier and easier. It took us 2 years to do this. I'm going to give you something really interesting, though. There are 126 spoken languages in the county of Cook. You may find that hard to believe, but the largest landowners of property in Cook County are Polish. So we now have our website in all these languages. We have had 183,000 downloads in Polish.
Wow.
Can you believe
that? No, I can't. That's a huge number.
Yeah.
Well, and
it's a huge number. So, yeah, so last week, listen to this. The Bulgarian council and the delegation came in because we were showing them this website, which is now in Bulgarian. This poor guy just got here from Bulgarian. I said, do you know how many times Bulgarians in Chicago have downloaded in Bulgarian? He said, no. I said, 12,000 times. He said, you need to go to Bulgarian and straighten out our government.
Yeah, really? You're going to start getting hired out to other countries.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, Maria, the refunds that people are getting, the are going back how far? So what year did are we looking at the overpayments?
These are the last 4 years.
Okay.
Only. If you want to know about the additional $94 million, because there's $94 million in duplicate payments, go to CookCountyTreasurer.com, purple box, put your address in, scroll down. You're going to see a box which tells you whether or not you have refund owing from prior years. And here's how this works. In 2001, you bought a house, and the seller said, Brian, I'm going to pay the taxes when they come due in March. You and your wife are a nervous wreck because now you get, in February, a bill from my office.
Right.
You forget that the seller was going to pay, so you and your wife write a check because you don't want to lose your house.
Right.
So I'm sitting on two payments from 2001.
Okay.
For like $4,000 and $4,000. So that $4,000 still is there, and you can apply and you can get it.
Okay. And that's
when I say it's there, when I say it's there, after 30 days, we distribute this money to the 2,000 governments in Cook County.
Sure.
So if you apply, we go back to them, say, hey, Brian Noonan, we owe him $3,000 from 2005. We're taking the money, we're giving it to Brian, and we get it out to you.
I would be happy, happy for that. And but again, that's for past, that's for before 2013. From 2013 on, people don't have to do anything. They can, and they should. They should go to CookCountyTreasurer.com, but you're going to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to do it for them. And again, Maria, when are these either checks or direct deposits expected to go out?
They're on their way out now, and they're going to be going out through. They're going out through January 25th. So, I mean, this is great news. Some of these checks are 1,000, some of them are 300, some of them are 200. But you know what?
Hey.
It's money nobody expected.
Exactly.
It's a great way to start 2019.
It definitely is. Found money is twice as good as earned money. You know, it's terrific. Well, this is a great thing, and it all goes back to, as you said, consolidation and more people working in programming at the treasurer's office. And the website, very, very easy to navigate, CookCountyTreasurer.com. If you have any questions about your property tax, again, if you want to see about the senior freezes and the senior exemptions, go and check that out. It is all there
last
on the
thing.
Website.
Yeah, one last thing.
Yes, ma'am.
assume that you never want to go to the United States Post Office postal box in front of your house or your post office box ever again.
Okay.
If you want to get a bill from me, you can go next to my purple box. There's another box which allows you to sign up for e-billing. We have 80,000 people who will never get a piece of mail from me again.
Perfect.
They will just click on their email. The bill shows up. It's the Maria Pappas version of a downloadable boarding pass to get on a United Airlines, except you can take that bill. You can go to Chase Bank. You can come to my office. You can mail it in.
Perfect.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Happy New Year, Maria. Thanks for this, and thanks for keeping us informed. I appreciate it. That's Cook County Treasurer Maria Pappas. If you own a home and you made a double payment, you could have some money coming. Very, very exciting. We'll have the news coming in just a minute on WGN.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
I can. I'm not going to have Grover tell you because he might. Who knows? It's Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. We're here till 5 o'clock. Then it is the Big Cats pregame in advance of the Holiday Bowl in San Diego, which they always stay classy out there. I was going to say what it meant according to Ron Burgundy, and I thought better of it. So I will not, but we'll just go from there. Oh, man. When you started playing that bump, Tom, I thought, oh. Am I hosting some urban New Year's Eve party, which would be fun? But then we went into the beautiful Sesame Street theme, and you've probably heard this already. You've probably started to formulate your answer to this question. But we've been debating this nonstop. We went to the boss. We took the audio clip. We said, "Hey, can we play this?" The boss listened to it, and based on what he heard, he said, "No." What am I talking about? Well, Grover. One of my favorite Muppets, of course, Oscar the Grouch being my favorite, followed by Cookie Monster, and then Grover. An Animal, quite frankly, but Animal's in the Muppet Show. He's not a Sesame Street guy, so you can kind of cross-pollinate. And don't get started on Kermit, of course. Kermit, you know, Kermit is an icon, but Kermit's too goody-goody for me.
I'm partial to Elmo.
Elmo, see, everybody loves Elmo. The little kids love Elmo. The nice adults like Elmo. Everybody likes Elmo because he's such a kind monster. Well, there was a clip that aired last week. People are debating it. Depends on, I guess, what kind of character you have as to what you hear. A Reddit user heard it and thought that Elmo dropped a particular profanity that begins with F. Or Grover. Who did I say? Elmo? Elmo would never swear. How dare I besmirch Elmo? I apologize, Elmo. If you're listening, please, you and Zoe, enjoy your holiday. Don't come after me with any lawsuits. This is Grover. Not Super Grover, just regular old Grover. It goes back to the, remember last year there was the Yanni and Laurel controversy? Do we have that, Tom? Did you save the Yanni and Laurel? Because we got into this too. I didn't get involved in the do you hear Yanni or do you hear Laurel when it was very popular. We were playing this as a comparison the other day, and I kept hearing one thing, and then Tom played it, and I heard something different. So I don't know what that tells you about me, other than I can't stay focused. All right, here's the Yanni and Laurel.
Laurel.
Now, I hear Laurel. What do you hear, Kim?
I hear Laurel. And I heard Laurel, like, when it first came out,
yes,
I heard Laurel.
I always heard Laurel.
Me too.
Except for one time, and Tom will attest to this, he was playing it ad nauseum. To the point where I wanted to have him escorted out of the building by security with his belongings in a cardboard box. And yet he played it another time, and I did hear the Yanni, which was weird.
I heard it once, too. But it's when you slow it down. Did he slow it down? Because that's when I heard it, when somebody slowed it down. That's when I heard Yanni. Otherwise, I heard Laurel the whole time.
He did try to slow it down. I didn't hear it as much. He was playing it at regular speed. The one time I heard Yanni clearly, it was just the same speed as when I was hearing Laurel all the time. You heard what, Tom? What were you hearing?
I was always a Laurel.
I
didn't get where the Yanni was coming from until I listened, as Kim said, slowed down. Then it's like, I guess, the lower tones, it's sitting there. I don't know. I'm not an audio engineer.
All right. Well, here is what Elmo supposedly said. He supposedly Grover. Why do I keep saying Elmo and I'm looking right at Grover?
I'm sorry. I said Elmo. I've got
Elmo
track
in my head. That's no. Listen, if I can't tell two puppets apart, I have bigger problems.
You need to go back to Sesame Street.
I do need to go back to Sesame Street. Snuffleupagus can walk me down. Oscar can yell at me. And then Big Bird can, you know, do whatever it is that Big Bird does other than sit in a giant nest and just flap around. So Grover is supposed to say, yes, yes, that sounds like an excellent idea. That is what he is supposed to say. But listen to this, and of course there's a little editing, but then you can go look for it yourself. But Tom?
Move the camera! Yes! Yes, that's a f-ing excellent idea!
There's an extra word in there. Because it doesn't say, that sounds like an excellent idea. Can you play it again? Sure you can. You're an audio genius.
Idea.
One more time.
Move the camera! Yes! Yes, that's a f-ing excellent idea!
Holy cow. Now, for the first time ever, I'm still hearing the profanity. I'm not going to lie to you,
sure,
because that's what I traffic in when I'm not here. However, now I have opened my mind to the possibility that Grover could have actually said, yes, yes, that sounds like an excellent idea.
And
Kim,
we have to
what do you hear? I forget what you, we played it for Kim.
No, I haven't heard it. I just heard the beep, so I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
So
right. That's
I don't
the tough
know
part is that with the upstairs beep, they said, well, you have to beep it just because it's ambiguous, and we obliged.
Well, we played it for our boss, and he immediately heard the profanity.
He did.
Just like me. The first thing I heard was the profanity. Now, John Williams claims he's never heard the profanity.
All of our minds are in the gutter, though.
What? What did you say you heard, Tom?
So when I first listened to it, I was like you. I heard the F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tried to, like, recontextualize it, I just put it down.
Wait a minute. You tried to do what? With Muppet speak? Recontextualize, you
yes,
say?
Yes. I had to recontextualize.
You're
so
fancy.
I imagined I was a parent. Say, I've got my kids sitting in front of the TV watching Sesame Street. I'm not paying attention.
Okay.
So I just kind of, like, looked away and didn't watch the video and didn't really listen hard to it. And when I pressed play, I heard sounds like. I heard the non-profane version, and I think it's just one of those things where the actor said it so quick that it can really just, it could be either, realistically.
Let's hear it one more time.
All right.
Let's hear it again.
Move the camera! Yes! Yes, that's a f-ing excellent idea!
Now I can't stop hearing what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Play it one more time.
I'm trying to get into the CSI, you know, enhance.
Right.
Yes, that's a idea. Move the camera. Yes, yes, that's a f-ing excellent idea.
See, you catch the sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
The sounds like is right there. I'm looking at about 2.2 seconds.
Where's Zapruder filming this thing, which I enjoy. I enjoy breaking it down. But I also enjoy thinking that that Grover would swear and drop the F-bomb.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Avenue Q, so, you know, sure. I kind of hoped that.
Oh, me too. Love Avenue Q.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of a puppet dropping some F-bombs.
The harsh realities of life on the street.
Of course. Yeah, Sesame Street. I heard that. Who was that? Which hip hopper was that?
Oh, that was N.W.A.
Cool Mo D. Was not Cool Mo D.
No.
All right. Just thought maybe it was Easy E. Rest in peace.
Well, it was N.W.A.
That he was in.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, respect. all right. So this has been the big thing. Now everybody except I think maybe one Jennings heard the F bomb. Ryan Burrow heard the F-bomb. All the other producers, the F-bomb. Ernie, one of our fine production people, heard the F-bomb. And it must have pained him, being named Ernie, to think that one of his fellow Muppets would have broken bad. But that is that. So if you get a chance, this will make for a fun New Year's Eve party. So gather around your computer. You don't have to be liquored up because we were totally sober when we were doing this.
Stone cold.
Stone cold. Oh, the Texas Rattlesnake? Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Austin 316.
Wow. I don't know why anybody cares, Dave, in Franklin Park. It's just fun, and it's New Year's Eve, you know?
And the concept of Muppets cursing is hilarious.
Right, and things catch on the internet.
Imagine if he has, like, a little press conference. You know, they have to have Grover up there.
I would love him to come out and issue an apology.
His dutiful wife standing by his side.
I don't know if Grover has a partner.
Well,
Maybe Elmo comes out to support. The monsters come out to support. You know, Zoe, Elmo, the rest of them, they come out there. You know,
I love a good Sesame Street scandal.
I do too. That's why people care. According to one of our texters, there's a Chili Willy episode from the 60s where this texter swears he hears, "I'm going to F you up."
Well, Chili Willy was a cold dude.
You're right. He's very nice, Tom. Very nice. All right. So there's the big, that's your assignment for New Year's Eve. Listen to this, have some fun with it, and see, is Grover swearing or not? We will we'll debate more very, very important topics on the other side. But first, we have to go to the newsroom because Kim is going to tell us what's happening at 4:30. Oh, New Year's Eve. Time when people are making resolutions. They're talking about resolutions. Oh, what are you going to do in 2019? Blah, blah, blah. Well, the harsh truth is most people do not follow through on their resolutions. Approximately 80% of people who make New Year's resolutions have dropped them by the second week in February. That is not good. So what is the problem? Is it the fact that we're setting goals that cannot be reached, or is it something else? Well, according to some new research and a news story that I was reading, it is not the fact that we're picking the wrong goals. It's just that we're following through on them incorrectly. That we're setting goals, and then we don't have a process to follow through on those goals. So if you are making a resolution, and I know, Kim, I have decided, we talked about this the other day, I'm going no alcohol January.
Oh, you are?
I am. Dry January.
All right. Do you want me to help you out?
Well, no.
I'll be a partner. I'd like to try it.
If you want to try it, that's. I don't want you to feel obligated. Because, you know, I'm already drunk and drinking right up to 12 o'clock. But, no.
All right, how many hours do I have to decide?
You've got, seven and a half hours.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's, so I decided I was going to do it, and I, just because I want to challenge myself. I want to see, one, if I can do it, and mostly I'm doing it to jumpstart some weight loss. Because over the last year, I have been negligent in my fitness. Thankfully, I have not gained back all of the weight I lost, but I gained back a little, and I'm ready to get rid of it again. So that's part of the problem. So I could say, oh, I want to get in better shape. Well, that's very vague, right? That's not a good plan. I need to be extremely specific, as you do. If you are making a resolution, you have to look at it as a goal, so you have to be very specific. So instead of saying, I'm going to get in better shape, well, what does that mean exactly? They suggest that you set, all right, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 30 days. That's a goal. That's a specific thing that can be reached. It's not abstract. Or if you're an entrepreneur and you say, I'm going to grow my business, or a salesperson or something like that. Well, grow my business means nothing. If you say, I'm going to get 5 new clients in a month, that's a specific that you can measure. Was I successful at that or was I not? And it's going to keep you motivated to pursue these goals. They also say to make your goal personally meaningful. So we know one of the biggest resolutions everybody makes is they're going to, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to eat better, blah, blah, blah. And some people do it because they want other people to perceive them differently. I'm going to lose weight so that other people think I'm pretty. Well, that's dumb. If you want to lose weight, you should lose weight because you want to live healthier. You want to, it's all got to be about you. No matter what your goal is, it has to be for you. They also say to make your goals positive. So don't say, now, somebody on staff and I were talking about this, about stopping smoking. Don't just say, I'm going to stop smoking. That's a great goal, but it's a negative goal. So it's harder to do something, it's harder to stop doing something than to embrace a new positive challenge, they say. So if your goal is to stop eating sweets, well, that's not good because we only have a limited amount of willpower. And if every day you are constantly battling your willpower, pretty soon you're not going to have any left. Like, my willpower lasted about 6 years, and then it kind of went away for a while, so I got to try to get it back. And this was the biggest surprise to me. They say to set your goal and then forget your goal. That goes against conventional wisdom, but what you're supposed to do is not think about it. You set it, and then you forget it. Because if your goal, the example they used, if your goal is to run a marathon, and right now you can only run a mile, well, there's a huge gap between where you are now and where you're going to be. So you have to set it up realistically and not not get to the point where you're thinking about it all the time. And I can only go back to the biggest resolution that I made, and it was in the middle of the summer. It wasn't even a New Year's resolution. But I got very intimidated by the amount of weight I needed to lose at the very beginning. So I didn't look at the total number. I looked at segments. And then it was easier to stay focused and not give up. Because if you say, whatever the goal is, whether it's running or weight loss or you know, I want to get X amount more clients, and you're like, wow, that's a lot. I'm never going to make it that far because I'm only here. Don't look at the big distance. Break it up into little pieces, and then don't think about the big issue anymore. So there you go. Look at me, Tom, trying to help people. I'm all about helping.
I know. You're like Dr. Oz. He helps people.
I am. I think. The Wizard of Oz helps people.
Yeah, but, you know.
The doctor? I think he does, sure. That's what they want to do.
Oprah says he does.
Oprah. Well, if Oprah says it, yeah. Then you know it's true. All right, we got to do this. Then it's news time. WGN. Oh, my goodness. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. I'll be with you all week. Rowan Anna will be back on the 7th of January. It's New Year's Eve. And if you've been a longtime listener of WGN Radio, you know that whether you're going out or and staying out late, or you're staying home, you're enjoying yourself, there's only one way to spend New Year's Eve, and that is with Steve and Johnny. Steve and Johnny, join me on the phone now. Happy New Year, folks. Good to talk to you. Uh-oh. All right, they're drunk already. Roger Badish is here too, so that he's very excited that you're already in the bag. This is good.
And they haven't even driven her yet. Oh my goodness!
So listen, the radio test drive is going to be in a bumper car, I think, coming down.
No, we have people. Don't worry, we have people.
Sure, you guys are big shots. You have a whole staff of people. Welcome.
Actually, we have an important question. Are we even going to be able to get into downtown tonight? Are they closing streets?
David. There's some bridges being closed. I know David's been reporting this because of the fireworks. What time are you guys planning on coming? I'd get in now. Can you come in now?
Well, I should have my PJs on. That would be interesting.
Listen, it's radio, Johnny. You know that. And we're on the 18th floor now.
We're streaming video.
Well, sure, but people want to see Johnny in her jammies.
Well, there's that. Well,
sure. It's got a little rhythm to it.
It does.
Johnny in her jammies.
So, David, how can Steve and Johnny get in tonight?
I really have no idea.
All right.
Okay, all right.
There you go, folks.
Here's what I can tell you. The bridges over the Chicago River at Franklin, Orleans, Clark, and Wabash are all going to be closed through Tuesday morning. Okay. There are going to be restrictions on other streets. Wacker is going to be closed. I'm trying to find where I saw it before, but it's going to be closed.
Hmm. Do you have a helicopter at your disposal?
Wow.
I guess... Come up Michigan?
Yeah.
And then...
Our usual route involves Columbus to...
To Wacker.
To Lower Wacker, and then into the parking place.
Hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, maybe Lower Wacker
Lower Wacker is going to be a problem. I know the Riverwalk is going to be closed at some point before the fireworks begins. So,
but the fireworks aren't till midnight. You'll be in here way before that.
Oh, yes. We're going to head in about 8:30.
Yeah, about 8:30, 9:30, something like that.
Now, there's been discussion between myself and Roger that I thought you were starting at 11 and going till 5, but that may not be correct. You may be starting a little bit earlier.
We're actually starting at 10:55.
Oh, 10:55.
That way we get to join the New York countdown. We're going to have countdowns from every single time zone, from New York, Anchorage, Alaska.
Arizona,
yeah.
Very nice. How many years is this?
One of my favorite countdowns because Patrick Crispin, who was a regular on our show every Wednesday night for What's It Wednesday Night, he lives on the Rose Bowl parade route.
Oh, nice.
So he's going to be outside getting together with people who started camping out at noon today.
There are literally about 10,000 people that are lining up the night before the Rose Bowl parade.
And it doesn't matter what the weather is out there because when we lived out there, there were some New Year's Eves that were horrible weather, kind of like this, and it doesn't matter. People are camping out. They want their spot on the route in Pasadena.
Well, now, did you participate in what we found is a tradition for people lining up on the Rose Bowl parade route?
Steve, I don't line up for parades.
I'm right there with you.
Absolutely not. Maybe at Mardi Gras.
For the people who are lined up on the sidewalk, if anybody actually drives a car down that street,
After 10 o'clock.
They pelt them with marshmallows.
Oh, no. See, and I would have gone much more violent. But that's why I don't line up.
Yes, they're California.
Well, they're very passive out there. It's very passive. How many years have you guys been doing this New Year's Eve broadcast?
We did our first New Year's Eve show 24 years ago tonight.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But who's counting?
And was that as long? Now, tonight it's 6 hours and 5 minutes, if my math serves me. Was it always that long?
Well, that's old school. That's how we started.
Oh, yeah, you were doing 11 to 5 back in the day. Yeah, that's
true. It was always a six-hour show. And
so tonight is the past couple of years, it's been, you know, the 3 and 4 hours. Tonight it's a return to old school, 6 hours and 5 minutes.
People, you know, when the new kids around here hear that there were people who used to do you guys and me on the weekends and when I filled in for you, that used to do a six-hour show, their eyes get as big as saucers. They can't believe anybody could actually communicate for 6 hours at a stretch. How do you do that?
I wouldn't go so far as to say we communicated.
Well, you filled the airwaves. There was sound coming out of the box. So that's really all that matters. But yet people can't believe it. The 6 hours to them seems like you might as well just be doing a marathon.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, we've been training.
Yeah. Remember, though, Brian, there were nights when it felt like a marathon.
Yeah, there definitely were. So tell us what's on the big broadcast. Now,
told us. We have literally over a dozen guests that will be in studio. We have a guest list of over 20, like that. 23,
and
25.
Just within the past couple hours, we confirmed we're going to have a legendary harmonica and orchestra leader, Corky Siegel, is going to be joining us in studio.
Yes. Not bad.
Ronnie Rice is going to be our house band because he is the human jukebox, and he's riding down there with us, so we've got him for the night. And he is so, so much fun because he really is a human jukebox. Yeah.
So, you just plug him in and he goes.
And he goes, yes.
A new group to us that we're really knocked out by, the River Road Trio.
They're from Morris, Illinois, and they're going to finish up their gig at 10 o'clock and then mosey on in from Morris to spend some time with us. And they do this great three-part harmony, and they're getting some buzz in Nashville, which we're really excited about. But we just discovered them, and we're just tickled that they can join us.
Then we're also going to get some predictions from the musical mentalist, Sidney Friedman, who's going to join us in studio.
All right.
And he has a new book all about losing weight, but he's got this great title for the book. He'll tell us all about it tonight. And who doesn't think about losing weight as of the first of the year?
Everybody.
So, yes.
A group that we were first exposed to a couple weeks ago at a Christmas party at one of our favorite places, the Guitar Works up in Evanston, a group called the Three C's, just a terrific bunch of kids from Evanston High School that play legitimate bluegrass music.
And they're 14, 16, and 18 years old. And we've got a fiddle player who's actually a championship fiddlist. And is it fiddlist? Is that what you are? If you play a fiddle?
Fiddler.
You're a fiddler. And
fiddlist is nice, though.
And a guitarist. And we're real excited about it because their parents are bringing them down so that they can be on with us after 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And that's only the tip of the eye. We've got some friends like Tommy Emmanuel is going to check in with us from Tommy, I believe, is out on the West Coast.
After his show tonight, he's going to check in with us and tell Chicago fans about a show he's got coming up in January.
And I'm bringing a guitar down, so be very afraid.
That'll be fun. So now, and this is a nice, it's much bigger than when you guys had to do it at the old place. So now you actually have room for all these wonderful guests.
Yeah. And we're going to have them in studio with us because our approach is it's our living room, and these people drop by, and they have a little beverage, and they play a little music, and we chat a while, and then people at home get to watch everything, the magic as it happens.
And we have to do a shout-out to our friends at Lou Malnati's, who have been nice enough to cater tonight for us.
Ah, yeah, you can't stay up all night without some food and beverage.
This is true.
And now...
They pulled out all the stops. They're even doing the gluten-free pizza for us.
Very nice. Ooh, very nice.
Now I'll do the news from in here, though.
Yeah, now you got Roger on the news. I know this has been happening for many years. Is this something you feel burdened by, or is it something that you are happy about?
We have been known to dress him as Baby New Year and Father Time, all in one package.
I've seen those pictures in the past.
I know.
I don't need to see them again, but that'll be nice if you're streaming on audio and you want to see Roger in a diaper. Hopefully it's empty. You can enjoy that visual. That will be fun. Roger, are you? Did you do some extra crunches today in case you are diaper clad?
Well, a little extra crunches.
Watch the enunciation, please.
Crunches the candy that I had earlier today, the popcorn.
Oh, so you've been eating a lot of candy.
I had a little bit.
All right, that's fine.
But we're going formal tonight. I've got the sport coat.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to actually button my sleeves.
I hear Johnny's wearing pajamas.
I hear that, but they're formal pajamas.
Maybe.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. They have the train from the back, you know.
Wow. Very wedding gown-ish. All right. Listen, who am I to judge appearances?
We're going to have a blast. And actually, it's going to be Evanston High School night here.
It is.
Because you got the three kids coming in.
Ronnie Rice
is a graduate of Evanston. Mm-hmm. Corky is from Evanston.
And Corky is coming down right after he plays first night at Evanston tonight.
Right. And I'm from Evanston, and you guys are close enough to Evanston.
And I used to date a guy from Evanston.
There you go. See?
And my favorite guitar shop is in Evanston.
Gosh, this is eerie.
That's it. Listen, if you don't live in Evanston, folks, the show is still for you. Don't feel left out.
Thank you, Brian.
You can, if you don't live in Evanston, you can still really enjoy Steve and Johnny tonight. I know Roger wants to make it very narrow casting, but Steve and Johnny will be, broadcasting all over the world via the WGN website, and you can hear them everywhere. Somebody wants to know, this text coming in, people go to sleep. You two do not. Roger will not.
No.
But some people will. Will you be podcasting this tomorrow so that if people missed any of it, they can listen to it tomorrow?
Yes.
Very nice.
We will definitely do that.
So we can listen and see what the heck we did?
Sure. Right. Oh, I know. Yeah, because by 4 o'clock, you're going, but you may not remember all the particulars.
We're speaking in tongues by 4 o'clock.
You know, that's how the countdown started, because people would say, I can't stay awake past midnight, or I fell asleep for the countdown. And we always say, well, if you wake up at 3 in the morning, there's going to be a countdown for you. So just, snuggle up to the radio. Remember, no cover charge and no dress code.
And as you remember, Brian, we were always number one with PWPs.
Sure.
People without pants.
People without pants.
Which he eventually stole from you and started doing bits about people in Wisconsin.
Oh, the man without pants.
With no pants.
Just the one guy.
Yeah, right.
So now, Roger, will you be wearing pants?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yes.
Because he's a respectable journalist.
The news department has a dress code.
All right. Yeah. Well, Happy New Year, Steve and Johnny. Everybody will be listening
starting again at
10:55. So they will be covering the New Year's Eve drop in New York and then all over the world. Tons and tons of guests, a lot of people dropping by. Roger will be here. Steve and Johnny are back for New Year's Eve. Have a wonderful show. Good luck. I'll call you at about 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, see how you're doing.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
Take care. Steve and Johnny back at 10:55 for the 24th annual New Year's Eve extravaganza. Not too shabby. And you get to, how'd you weasel your way in?
I know people.
All right, very good. I don't know anybody. Anyway, let's do this. Then there's more. We're going to start wrapping up because Northwestern football after the news at 5 on WGN. Coming out hot. Final few minutes. Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. I will be with you the rest of the week. Rowan Anna coming back on Monday the 7th. Happy New Year. Roger, we know you will be here for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, other than working, do you have any traditions, any New Year's things that you do?
No, we've in the past, we've watched the New Year's Eve celebrations on TV when I've not been working.
Are you sad that we don't have a Chi-Town Rising anymore? The giant star that went up the Hyatt for 2 years?
You wouldn't believe how far my heart dropped when they announced that they would not be continuing.
I always thought it was ridiculous.
I
hated the name.
And you know why I was upset is because from the old studios.
Sure, we could watch Chi-Town Rise.
You could see the star drop.
Sure.
I want the star to come right down past our
windows. Well, it went up. That was the gimmick.
Oh,
it rose. Chi-Town Rise.
See how much I was paying attention.
See, you weren't really paying attention.
No. Yeah, but what's up is down and down is up. But now this is going to be beautiful tonight because I don't care how much fog is going to be here. We're right on the river.
Well, it's amazing you say that because now I turn and up until I don't know, 5 o'clock when I turned, all I saw was clouds, or up until 4 o'clock. Now I see all the buildings. The fog has parted. You'll be able to come down and see the Navy Pier fireworks, or if you want to come see the fireworks all along the river, you guys are going to have a great view because there's 5 different spots along the river from Lakeshore Drive down to Wolf Point. So,
and from this studio, looking east,
Navy Pier,
there's
too.
Navy Pier.
This is, maybe I come back down.
I think you should get the cot out and
it's not going to happen at all, because I have to be back in here tomorrow afternoon. Plus, my card only lasts for so long.
Oops.
Then security is notified. The reason I asked, some crazy New Year's traditions, I'll just throw these out there before we get out of here. Wear red underwear, you're going to find love, according to people in Mexico and other Latin American countries. So if you wear red underwear, you'll find love. If you wear green or gold underwear, you'll find wealth.
Darn, and, I knew I should have changed.
What, do you got some tidy whities on?
No.
That's peace in the new year if you wear white underpants.
No, I've got lots of love.
All right. Wow. Wow, now we know Roger's sporting some red underpants. Pack your suitcase and you'll travel more. In Colombia and other Spanish-speaking countries, people grab their suitcase and carry them around all day, or they walk around the block with them at midnight so they can travel more in the new year. I've heard this one before, eat 12 grapes at midnight. Make a wish for each one. It represents every month of the year. That is what they do in España. Make sure your house is fresh and clean. You sweep away before midnight. In many Latin American countries, cleaning and getting rid of the year's trash. If you've waited till today to clean out a year's worth of trash, nothing's going to help you except an intervention from the hoarders people.
You know what Grover has to say about that?
What does Grover have to say about that?
That's a fucking excellent idea.
See, now I heard the F-bomb again. I heard the F-bomb again, because I'm not looking at the word, you know, the sentence, that what it's supposed to be. I'm hearing it the way it really is in the world. Black-eyed peas, you know, you eat those for prosperity. And if you
want to, you could listen to them and have a good party.
Oh, me and Will I Am going to be bouncing Fergie. I call her Stacy. I ape her style. That's all. That's right. You're surprised? Yeah, I dropped a lot of knowledge on you there, Tom Hush. If you want to scare away bad news, make a newspaper-stuffed scarecrow and set it on fire at midnight.
That sounds like a good new tradition.
Like indoors or...
Well, wherever. I'm not... Listen, who am I to judge where you want to burn your newspaper-stuffed...
I love a nice effigy. It's been a while. When's the last time you lit an effigy?
I haven't burned an effigy in a while.
Well,
Since I stomped out the ashes of Rogers that I burned last week.
There you go.
Before Christmas. All right, let's do this. Then we'll say goodbye. A lot of things happening. Northwestern football after the news.